Our reading tonight will be very brief, a well-known text from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And the verse we read is verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that would be sufficient for reading. Our brother has just reminded us, and I was thankful he did so, that most in the meeting would hope that when eternal day will be reached for them, that it will be safe in heaven above. I haven't a doubt in my mind that likely not one under this roof but would expect, when the eyes are closed, not necessarily by them, but when breath has left their body, that heaven and home will be their portion. I hope and trust everyone has such an end in view. What I'm going to try and show you from our text, and do it as simply and as plainly as I can, I would like to chalk the road, map out the course that ends in that blessed abode, and do it from the text that we have read. You will notice that our text begins with God, and it ends with life. And you know, whenever a soul is saved, that soul has his or her thoughts turned to God. And when it's all over, and the great transaction's done, they've got life. They begin with God, and they end with life. Now that is important. Now we must have at least 200 saved people in the hall tonight. And if we were to ask each of them, they would all tell you a slightly different story. And yet there are major signposts that led them to salvation that never vary and that never can be changed. And I want to point them out to you from this text. You know, while salvation in many respects is a story of an experience that we know has different sides to it, but when we get down to the essence of it, every soul that's saved has the one story. He may express it differently. He may not be able even to express it very accurately. But really, at the bottom of it all, he has one experience. Now let us get a look at this, because it's in our text. He begins thinking about God. Now, there's not a soul saved here tonight. No, there never will be a soul saved whose thoughts has not turned to God prior to his salvation. Oh, I wonder, am I getting to someone tonight? And you've come along to the gospel meeting. And could we have to say to you what the Bible said about the wicked? That God is not in all their thoughts. No thought about God. And that shows you're far from salvation. But blessed be God tonight, that first, we might say, link in the chain could be your blessed experience. And you could begin tonight in this building where so many are saved and where so many are happy that all is well. And you could begin tonight just to think about God. And that's where it starts, friend. Oh, when I think about God, the great, supreme, eternal God that we all have to do with. And when a man gets to know there is a God, there's a God in heaven, there's a God above, there's a God I have to meet, there's a God I have to do with, he gets, as it were, past his mere nonsense of this world, and he gets engaged with matters that are eternal and matters that are vital. Yes, there's a God. I hope you're thinking of him. I hope you have thoughts of him tonight. I hope all emptiness of mind has fled from you, and you're beginning to feel isolated, as it were, from the masses around, and singled out as an individual that has to do with God. That's the experience of everyone, without exception, whom the Lord has saved. Thoughts about God. But our thoughts about God began to develop along certain lines. And as we thought of these things, it raised hopes in our hearts. And it raised yearnings in our breast. And it raised desires in our soul. We discovered that the God so great and so supreme and so mighty and with whom we had to do, he's a God who loves. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful experience? Just when it registered in our mind that here I am, a poor sinner, and I don't want to meet God as such. Here I am, a sinner burned for eternity, but the God I have to do with is a God who loves. Many a hard heart has softened. Many a stiff neck has bent. Many a stubborn soul has been arrested when he began to think that the great God of eternity, so holy, so righteous, so pure in all his doings, that he actually loves. He loves a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. I would love to get that into somebody's heart tonight. To think that God really loves you. Now remember, you won't get saved with hard thoughts about God. Now you won't. Until it really gets home and it gets into your breast that the God of heaven has an interest in my soul. He has a pitying eye. It's not that he is in full fellowship with the world. You couldn't dare to think of that. For he can never love sin, or he can never have any sympathy with evil. But you see, his pitying eye looks down upon fallen humanity. And these words spoken to this man Nicodemus must have been amazing to him. For you know, he never dreamt that there was such a width in God's love. He never imagined that the God of heaven could embrace the whole world. Oh, those awful creatures. Some of them you'd be ashamed to think they were part of the human race. You'd be ashamed to think you were in any way linked with them. Down in the very depths of sin and as far down as iniquity could take them. And yet they're loved by eternal God. Let it end tonight, friend. It's step number two, as I might say, in the matter of getting saved. Mind you, friend, God wants to save you. Get that into your heart. Don't be trying to argue yourself out of it. Don't pretend that he has made it so awkward, that he is holding up a great treasure, but he holds it up so high that he doesn't want you to reach it. Don't imagine to your soul that you're such a being that his love could never embrace the likes of you. God so loved the world. Not at end tonight. Not just as a text of the Bible, but as a solemn reality dawning into your very soul. Let the light of it in. God, his love. You know, some of us wondered, would we ever be saved? Would we ever be? But there's always this encouragement that was worth looking for. It was worth thinking about. Why, God loves us. Not great, isn't it? Preachers give you up. Maybe your parents are nearly getting weary, crying to God to see you saved. Maybe even those who taught you in the Sunday school have almost forgotten your name. You've been so long away. Isn't it great to know there's a God in heaven? Oh, he loves your soul. Do you hear that, dear sinner? Let it in with all its warmth tonight, because that's a vital link in the chain that leads to salvation and to eternal glory. But men have not only thoughts of the Supreme Being prior to salvation. They have also thoughts of this wonderful person in the very center of our text, the Son of God. Aye, the Son of God. You know, if you were in a person's mind who's thinking about getting saved, he begins to think about God. And then when he thinks about getting saved, if he knows anything of the gospel at all, the thoughts of Christ come into his mind. And again he'll be pondering over, oh, Jesus the Savior to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me for me. You see, our text begins to open up the great truth that ever dawns upon a soul that is seeking salvation. Yes, I not only need the love of God, but I need His blessed Son. Listen to the words, friend. Don't let their familiarity cause them to be of none effect in your mind or in your heart. He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, can you see the as it were, the accumulation of thoughts? His only Son. His only begotten Son. The very dearest to His heart. Some of us today have been already reminded. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Oh, dear soul, if I could take you back, and I'm not capable, to scenes of glory, to scenes of everlastingness in the past, as it were, where our minds get lost. And there is God with His only Son, the greatest treasure His heart could ever possess. And He was willing to give Him. He was willing to give Him not only to earth, but not only to come to men, not only to be born in a babe in Bethlehem, but to go to the cross and there, as you have just been hearing, to lay upon Him the iniquity of us all. Oh yes, down from the glory the Savior came, down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. There's not a man saved, but thoughts of Christ have come into his mind. Oh, not one of us know the sweets of salvation tonight, but there was a time when we not only thought of God, and we thought of His love, but we thought of His Son, and we thought of what He did, what he had done for us upon that cruel tree. And we can all, oh, so thankful now when we're saved to say, yes, can it be that He loved me and gave Himself for me? Yes, thoughts of His Son. You know, this is the first time in the Gospels that you read of the love of God. And it's the first time in the Gospels that you read of everlasting life. We're just, as it were, getting onto the very threshold of those choice truths that some of you have been listening, rattling on your ears for many a day. Some of you for many, many years now, you've been hearing the same old story. You wonder why we don't change it a bit, or why we don't alter it a bit, or why we don't get something different for you. My dear soul, there's nothing to equal it. Nothing to compare with it. To tell you of a Savior's love, and tell you of atoning blood, and tell you of one who died upon the cross that you might never burn in that dreadful hell of which we've been hearing. I tell you, friend, if you could see the pit tonight, and you could see the damned in that dreadful abode, and you could feel you're going into it, you would turn to the Christ who died at Calvary, and you could say, yes, oh yes, I owe it all to Him. If I'm ever going to be saved, it's through Christ who died on Calvary's tree. Yes, He gave His only begotten Son. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I wouldn't like to be down in hell and thinking those words over. Mind you, I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to be in the pit of woe and still thinking, God gave His Son that I shouldn't be here. And God gave His Son to the cross to save me from it, and I'm down in it. What a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. Friend, will you listen to it afresh tonight? Just as if you were hearing it for the first time. And mind you, dear soul, it was in my heart, though it was long before it was mentioned in the prayer meeting. And it's been rhymed up tonight for some reason or other. There might be somebody here for the last time. And that's just what's making me preach the way I'm doing. I'm just preaching to you, dear soul, as if I was looking into your eyes on your deathbed, telling you how to be saved on the brink of hell. And I tell you, friend, that makes any preacher solemn. Not only do all of us who are saved remember when our thoughts turn to God, and recall very vividly when we began to think of Christ, His only Son, but every one of us that is saved, the seriousness of our plight dawned upon us. And that's contained in our text. Should not perish. Oh, I can remember when that gripped me. I can remember when I caught on. I really caught on. I was only a little toddler. I don't say I grasped it. But I can remember asking my mother, when I mustn't have been more than about 4 years old, Is the hell fire real fire? And with tears she told me it was. Oh, friend, it's dreadful to be hearing about hell. But I can tell you, it'll be dreadful to be in it. And all of us same. Some to a greater extent than others. But without exception, they're dawned upon our minds. They got into our very souls, the seriousness of our plight. And we took that step, as it were, in our thinking. And we began to think of God, and then we thought of Christ, and then we thought of our danger. We saw the Supreme Being. We saw the Son he gave, but oh, we saw we were in a serious plight. What was wrong? We're just going to perish. I could take you, in my mind, I mean. I can take you in thought to the 3rd of January, 29. That's coming 57 years ago. When as a schoolboy, I was down at my bedside and crying out to God, oh God, save me from hell. What had happened? What had changed the lad? What had sobered me? The seriousness of my plight had dawned upon me. Has it got in on you, friend? Has it really been grasped by you yet? I wonder, are you still playing with these things? Do you just look at the preacher and listen to him as if he were only talking just as a matter of form and he had nothing better to say and nothing else to talk about? I wonder, dear soul, has the awful reality of eternity ever filtered into your mind yet? Ever dawned upon you yet? Can it be that you have never really seized it and grasped it and made it your very own? Here I am, a soul to be saved, an eternity to face, and I'll perish if I die as I am. Not a hope. Left to yourself, dear friend, you haven't a hope. Left to yourself, you'll perish. Friend, that's the gospel. But that's not at all. I want specially, because I have reasons for this, to take a look at the fourth step in our thinking of all of us who got saved. I hope every Christian is following the thoughts that I have mentioned. And almost without expressing it publicly, they're saying amen. That's exactly how I got saved. And I hope we'll all agree when it comes to this vital step that's in the verse. And mind you, this is the big thing. And what is that to somebody? When it dawns upon the soul, the simplicity of salvation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How many? Oh, how many? And they have thought about God. We have them in the meeting. I've got to announce their names. And they have thought about his dear son. And they have thought about the cross. And they have no doubt whatever about the seriousness of their plight and the danger that they're in. But here's where they're stopped. Here's where they've stopped. There's another step they've never taken. There's another, we might say, movement of their minds that has never taken place. And what is that? Whosoever believeth in him. Oh, their faith has never been directed to Christ. And the language of their inner being, oh, is it through tonight? Can I get you past yourself, dear friend, and past your reasoning, and past your big ideas, and past your false notions, and past all the reasoning and all the trying and all the effort that you may have done in the past? And could I get you to turn from your own attempts and your own feelings and your own ideas and in all simplicity, oh, just to realize that once I put my trust in that one whom God gave to die upon the cross that I might be saved, that that moment the whole thing settled. I've got eternal salvation. You say, that's great. That's great. Do you know this, friend? What amazes me, and you'll agree, I can't be very young when I was saved all those years. What amazes me so much, that in the north of Ireland, we have so many who have gone so far in their thinking about salvation. They have gone so far in their interest in eternal life. And yet when it comes to taking the simple step of confidence in Christ, they say, no. No, I'll not go. I'll not go. Oh, dear friend, what way are you going to get saved then? Come on now. If you know any other way, would you not tell us? If you can think of any other way, Here's God's simple way of salvation. Not trying or doing one's best, but just in believing on Jesus, the weary and sinful find rest. Yes, dear soul. Are you listening to it? Because remember, this is vital. You could know your need. You could know your danger. You could dread being in hell. You could even weep about your soul. But until you put your confidence in Christ, believing in Him, no peace comes. No change comes. The dark night's still ahead. Eternal doom is still awaiting you. You're still in your sins. Oh, yes, dear soul. Will you let me quote it again? How simple God's way of salvation. Not trying or doing one's best, but simply believing on Jesus. That one that God gave. That one that died upon the cross. That one who's able and mighty to save. Simply believing on Jesus. The weary and sinful find rest. Won't it be a great moment, friend, when you take that final step? But that's what we all had to get to. And we had to take salvation in God's way or be without it. We couldn't change it. And we never tried since. It was so sweet and so delightsome, we wouldn't want to alter it. How simple. Oh, says somebody. I never forget the man in County Down. I don't suppose I've seen him since. But he said, you know, when I saw the simplicity of it, I could almost have kicked myself. And he was a country man, and he wasn't maybe too particular about his language. You see, I could have kicked myself that I didn't see it sooner. I didn't see it sooner. He seemed as if all annoyed that he had looked at it so long and had never taken it in. Whosoever, oh, so would you not see yourself singled out here just from everybody? You know, the world and whosoever. In the one you have the world in mass. In the whosoever you have it isolated into individuals. Whosoever believeth in Him. Oh, in Him, that's the one to trust, friend. Couldn't believe in yourself. You couldn't believe in your feelings. You couldn't even believe in your anxiety. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We come to the final step. You say, are you going to go any further? No, not any further in a sense. But you know, there's something sweet about salvation. There's something solid about it. You listen to it. Ha! Did you get that? Ha! Everlasting life. When you've got something. You've got something. Oh, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Ha! Ha! Everlasting life. And what happens, dear friend? The two issues, you see, are brought together at the end of the text. And the one, you look out and you see a soul perishing. There's where I used to be. Going down to the pit with the awful masses of humanity. And now, here I am. I've got eternal life. And I'm heading straight for glory. Oh, dear soul, never as near it as you are just now. Those of us that are saved. Wouldn't you like to be going, friend? Oh, yes. We know there's a bright and a glorious land, away on the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. Will you be there and I? Now, friend, in our text, we have sought to trace for you the links that land you there. In your thinking. Thinking about God. Thinking about His Son. Thinking about the seriousness of your plight. And satisfied. To just think of the way of salvation in all its simplicity and pass from death unto life. And that's what we've aimed at, friend. Are you going to disappoint us? Are you going to go home disappointed tonight? And when will you be wise enough? And when will you be serious enough as to take God's way of salvation? Not your way, not my way, but God's way, and He wouldn't change it for you, not if you pled with Him for the rest of your lifetime. Now is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Shall we pray?